On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers, who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus said, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. This gospel is the gospel for the 13th Sunday after Pentecost in the liturgical form known as the extraordinary form of the Roman Rite for the Church. It's a gospel that is very easy to imagine. We can easily think of the 10 men who had suffered from leprosy, perhaps for a long time in their life. And they seek out Jesus. They go to him and want to be healed of their sickness. Jesus, who is consubstantial with the Father, that is, he's one with the Father. He has the power of God within him, uses his divine power, and heals all of these people. What a tremendous gift they receive. Now their sickness no longer has to dominate their lives. They're free of that sick oppression. But the greater gift goes to the one man who turns back to Jesus to thank him for his healing. This man probably had to put up a degree of effort to make his way back to Jesus. Perhaps this took some time. He might even endured some kind of ridicule from the other 9. He goes back to Jesus. Now, this is something that is not practical. He's not going back to Jesus for some practical benefit that he can receive from Jesus. He's going there simply to thank the Lord Jesus and to love him. He receives the greater gift by doing this. What is this greater gift? It is a living friendship with the Son of God. This is something that was possible for all 10 of them, but only one enters into Christ, the mystery of Christ, by going back to thank the Lord Jesus. Christ is pleased by this action of the man and honors him. In this regard, the man who goes back to Jesus is the man with the greater gift. He now has a gift that is eternal. This gift of his friendship with the Lord Jesus will change him. It will define him. It will become the foundation of his life. It will guide the course of his life's journey through this world. He can make constant reference to this tremendous gift, this friendship with Christ, making it the foundation of everything in his life, his moral decisions, his sense of his own purpose in life, even his sense of self-worth. This friendship with Christ will help him to see sin as it really is, something that attacks or can ruin one's relationship to God. He is now able to see better the purpose of his life. The purpose of his life is to serve God, to love him, and to know him, to be one with him forever in heaven. He will also develop an accurate and good sense of his own self-worth. He knows personally that Christ loves him. For him, the love of Christ is not a theological fact. It's a personal living experience. Because he went back to thank Jesus, he knows now that Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, knows him. He knows this man on a personal level and loves him. Pope John Paul the Great once said that what really matters in life is that Christ loves us and that we love him in return. And this man lives that truth. He's living off of what really matters in life, that Christ loves him and that he loves the Lord Jesus in return. The other 9 are to be pitied. They give in to an evil spirit of practicality. For them, God is only useful to the degree that God can do something practical for them. Once they're healed, they have no need for God anymore. That's how they live. They live probably as if God is not necessary or as if God does not exist. They are to be greatly pitied. They are lacking. they are truly poor. These nine men are lacking in the eternal treasure of friendship with Christ because they didn't want to thank him. And they invest themselves totally in things of this world which are passing away. Even their own health, which has been restored, will one day pass away. And they're holding on to it as if that's their greatest treasure. But the one man is holding on to the true great treasure, his relationship to Christ. We must be on guard against the evil spirit of practicality. If all that matters in life is that we receive some practical benefit from others or from God, then we're in big trouble. If a living and personal friendship with Christ is not important to us, then we're lost. We won't be able to see how spiritually deadly sin is, and these sins will lead our lives down a very bad path that we don't have to go down. Without this friendship with Christ as the foundation of our life, we will become confused about the purpose of our lives and easily misled by all the false teachers in this world who try to tell us constantly every day what the purpose of life is. These false teachers, through television and the internet, are now in our homes. And through things like a cell phone or a smartphone, they're with us all the time, constantly telling us what's good and what's evil. And they're not telling us the truth. Without this friendship with Christ, we don't have a true sense of our own self-worth. We would define ourselves by our successes. This would lead us to an insecure arrogance. Or by our failures. This would lead us to despair. If we give in to the evil spirit of practicality, then we would also move away from good relationships with others. Placing value only on the people who can give us money, pleasure, or help us succeed in some adventure we're upon. We would only seek practical benefits from all of the relationships we have. In this way, we would have no real friendships in life. You know, friendship is one of the greatest gifts to have in our life's journey. But if all we seek from others is what's practical, and we don't love them because of their own dignity, then we are lacking in this great gift of friendships. We would develop an interior loneliness and an emptiness that we would carry with us day in and day out. We could end up becoming a cold-hearted person who treats others with disrespect, even in extreme ways. We would treat with disrespect those who cannot bring us any practical benefit. The evil spirit of practicality can even affect the life of the church, in parishes, in the life priests and religious. If we priests give in to this spirit of practicality, we're also in big trouble. We would see that only practical things matter in our life. Things such as administration or the financial status of the parish, nothing else would be more important. We would neglect our daily holy hour. We would celebrate liturgy with irreverence or turn it into some kind of show. Our preaching would go down the drain because leading people to a holy life would seem unimportant. We would fail to confront the moral corruptions of those around us in society because that does not seem to be beneficial practically. Our own lives as priests would be in great trouble as well, since our own sanctification is not something that seems immediately practical. We would lose our way very quickly and perhaps tremendously. At best, we would feel a sense of low morale in our priestly life, and at worst, we would despair. Dear brothers and sisters, we must see that our friendship with Christ is most important. And this is something that is far beyond practicality because it enters the realm of religion. Let us thank him often in our daily prayers, honor him by our daily devotions, and trust in his providence and obey his word. In this way, his love, which is the sacrificial love of the cross, will inspire us to love others truly and correctly. And this would make our sorrowful world a little bit better, one person at a time. God bless you.